think they did pretty good.
I understand that Brother David Jones and Tanya had an accident coming in down the freeway. Any of you see it or know more about it? Did it look very serious, Brother Hill? Good. They're fine. All right. So thank God for that. And so I sent Brother Gary Taylor down to see about them. And so glad to hear the report. We welcome you to the Apostolic Church, to the youth rally of Section 2. And it's looking good. While I'm at it, I'd just like to invite all of you back to Sunday school Sunday morning. God knows I could use you. But I'd start a fight. I don't want to do that. We got enough fight in this whole world. But if anybody sees Hussein, tell him I don't like him. I only said that to tell you that this is a very, very serious situation. I mean, we need to really call on God. And if I wasn't in the church, I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know where we'd even have a rally tonight. You might have to spend your time praying with me because I'd want to make my way into the church of God tonight. I'd like to mention also, I'm sure most of you have heard about the death of Richard Davidson. And we're not going into details at this time, but both families and friends and churches, we all need to uphold one another in prayer at this time. It's bad in the way you look at it. And so let's pray for everybody involved in this situation. And it's like I was talking to Brother Hill earlier on the phone. You know, there's just, you don't know what to say. There's just nothing to say, hardly. Just pray. That's all we can do. And again, let me remind you to pray for our boys in service, because we're just hearing a little bit of the bad news. We're not getting the full story. And I feel like there has been a slaughter, especially among the Iraqi people, and they can't let it out for sympathizers and various reasons right now. And I'm not rejoicing in that. But I think we all know that the madman must be stopped. If he can be stopped, he must be stopped. And now the contamination that he's bringing on with all this oil turned loose in the Gulf. And
worship him right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we appreciate you, Lord, this night. We thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your people in this service tonight. If you may bless us, and we will worship you mightily, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in Jesus' name. My feelings are the same as Brother Rutledge. We know the events that has taken place in the Middle East. We know that our men and women that are fighting for our country. We've heard the report of people protesting peace, peace, peace. But sometimes the greatest peace is our defense. Even we ourselves do not like to struggle all the time, but we know the Bible says that Satan wars against the flesh. So we're constantly on a defense. You want peace, keep your defense up. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Brother Mark, God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be here tonight. If you had your song, Hate, He Brought Me Out.
My heart was distressed. Jehovah said prayer. And Lord,
there, folks. Let's hold it out a little bit.
He placed me among the rock on my side. My sins were intended and here all mine. No danger of falling from here. I'm
because he has brought us out of a miry clay, out of the miry pit, we now can sing, I am determined to hold out. Page 361. Praise the Lord.
When I first found Jesus, something on me so, like lightning with me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy, and took my fears away. And when I need all Satan, to him I'll always say, oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, all in my head.
Stan Mitchell, come and sit with us tonight. I have this feeling that some of you older people, you have done mature to the age that you don't have to get excited now. You know all about it, and you realize that you don't have to get there. But this is one time out of every month that you can just let your hair down, and you that don't have hair, don't worry about it. And just turn it loose and worship the Lord. You see, I have a feeling. If we were in the Middle East, and it was our country being bombed, and we had an opportunity to come to church and worship Jehovah God, we would tear this place up tonight. I said we would tear this place up tonight. The Bible tells in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's do that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A thought came to me Sunday night while I was preaching about the Scud missile that Hussein is sending over and the American patriot that keeps putting them down. Although we do know that a few has escaped and has hit different places. But the Bible lets me know that if we put on the whole armor of God, that the shield of faith will keep the fiery darts from penetrating. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that America might make a weapon that can defect or go wrong, but God never has failed. There's not one war in the Old Testament when God led it that men lost. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I'd like for Brother Plunkett to come right now and leave his testimony.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to be here tonight. I heard something this week that really blessed me in a way, and I'd like to share it with you. There was a young boy who, he got in church, got the Holy Ghost and everything. He went to school the next day, and you know the bullies of the school, how they're always going to pick on you and everything like that. And as he went to school the next day, sure enough, it happened. All of them began to pick on him. He said, "So you're under the blood of Jesus." "Yeah, I'm under the blood of Jesus." "Saved by the blood." "Yes, I'm saved by the blood." And he didn't know really where this was leading to, and he didn't know what to do and everything. And the bully said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. I believe Satan can come through that blood and get you." He said, "Yeah, but you let me tell you one thing. If Satan comes through that blood, he's going to be a saved devil. He's going to be a saved devil." Amen. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing more powerful than the blood. If you want to make it to the end, you stay in the blood. I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. That there's no one or nothing, amen, can separate you from God except you yourself. You yourself. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible said he can take a black heart, wash it with red blood, and make it whiter than snow. Whiter than any fuller can make it. Amen. I don't care how dirty your heart is. I don't care how much sin is in your life. God can clean you up and make a new person out of you. That's what the blood can do. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God bless you tonight. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Amen. Brother Mark Harris is going to come and sing and testify right now. He's evangelizing, and next week he's going to be with Brother Williams. In revival, isn't it, Brother Williams? Starting tomorrow night. He just come from Oklahoma, so he said he just sooner be here than there. So we're glad to have him tonight.
Praise the Lord, everyone! Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, how many have the Holy Ghost tonight? Are we been redeemed? Then let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was thinking of a motto that the Sheep for Christ team used some years ago. It said, "The times demand our best." And tonight, if ever the times demand our best, it's tonight. It's now when we that know the truth can come together and lift up holy hands without wrath nor doubt and worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen. He said the true worshipers are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm glad tonight that I'm one of them. Amen. I said, I'm glad tonight that I'm one of them. Amen. I'm going to worship Him in spirit, and I'm going to worship Him in truth. Amen. Let's worship Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know everything, all about everything that's going on. The Bible tells me, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to be ready every day, every minute, every second I'm going to act like tonight that he's going to come sometime during this service. I'm going to give him everything that I have. You worship the Lord with us as we sing. If you're awed by this world and all its beauty, so many stately mansions daily you may see, but without great wealth, I know I'll never own one, and you will need her if you're no more rich than me. But if your soul will look beyond what man is building, oh, you will see what earthly mortals cannot see. On the other side of Jordan, there's construction, all a mansion being built just for me. Oh, just wait till you see my brand new home. Just wait till you see its beauty rare. Nothing down here can compare. Just wait till you see my brand new home. My Heavenly Father's building me, and I'm gonna occupy for free. Just wait till you see my brand new home. My new home, well, I set upon foundations that are man-made and will someday pass away. It won't be built where the storms of life can batter and the rain clouds often hide the light of day. Oh, but the cornerstone of God is my foundation, the root of David, trust the Lord, my coming King. Oh, what a welcoming homecoming that awaits me. Oh, and I'm expecting any day to move right in. Oh, just wait till you see my brand new home. Just wait till you see its beauty rare. Nothing down here can compare. Just wait till you see, oh, my brand new home. My Heavenly Father's building me. I'm going to occupy for free. Just wait till you see my brand new home. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him one more time. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Brother David Valerie Cummins sat with us tonight. I don't think he was in here when we announced all the preachers to come. Everybody say, I love the Lord tonight. Amen. Boy, we got some good-looking preachers behind me. Young and on fire for God. And they've asked that, since I was so good-looking, to be in charge of it tonight. I think that's what Brother Gray said. Of course, we shouldn't talk that way behind the pulpit. You need to hit an altar when you start talking like that. Isn't God good?
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I thank God for America, to serve a God like I have, to have a country where I can worship Him like I can. I appreciate my country and the God that has blessed it. And one of these days, I've listened and heard it take so many times with Brother Lonnie Treadway, that the Lord visiting is the Gentiles, and we're going to go home and be with them. And if Hussein, if he thinks he's such a smart man, and I feel like 5 years from now, if he'd have kept himself undercover, he might have been, but God exposed him to let us know that he's coming back after his people. And we might as well get ready. I said, we might as well get ready to meet him, don't you think? That we might as well get ready to meet the Lord. Don't put our thoughts in our flesh and our pleasure on earthly vessels. Let's don't get attached to them now, because they're going to stay and we're going to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Ronnie Watson.
Love the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Tonight, with all the trouble in the Middle East, I know in the book of John we're told that as Thomas reached out for Jesus' hand, Jesus took a hold of him. He was simply reassured. And tonight we can be reassured that God is here tonight. If we lift our hands and praise Him with all our heart and with all our might, we'll be assured that God will be here tonight with us. He'll bless us and He'll be here with us tonight. If we'll just simply raise our hands and praise God. Simply to be reassured tonight. He's here with us all. Praise God.
I'd like for the Redfield Singers to get ready to come on up and sing. We'd like for Brother Alton Jackson to come right now. While he's doing that, I want to make one announcement, and that is that all you churches that haven't brought your attendance and your mileage yet, get that on up here for us, and let's just see how many we got in service tonight.
Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad for the Redfield Church tonight. I'm glad that, that we've got some good singers and some good people. And I'm just glad that the Lord is good and He allowed us to be good. Amen?
Yeah.
The other night I was going to preach at the church, and well, I was just before I started preaching, I said, I'm going to do something different tonight. I said, I'm going to sing. And I told nobody to get up and leave, you know, just all sit there and take it, you know. I'll be through in a little bit. But tonight, I just want to worship the Lord any way that I can. I'm not going to say anything else because I want to hear Brother Sam next tonight. God bless you.
Well, I love the Lord, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to worship the Lord, and you know, I want to give Him my all, and I'm glad that He did it all for me. Y'all listen to this song because it's a really good song, and it tells about what the people did when the Lord was crucified, and you'll just have to listen to the song. It's hard to explain. I get all tongue-tied, chained, talk. I just love the Lord.
I'm
Looks good in here tonight. House full. Nearly. That's right. It's good to be here tonight. Brother Hidden, I feel like he's honored me in a way tonight by asking me to come up and sit. I look out into the congregation and I see seasoned ministers, preachers of the gospel, sitting out there. Oh no. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
Amen. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't be here.
Uh-huh.
So, I appreciate that. And my only desire in this life is to do somewhat like Philip did when he went to Samaria in the 8th chapter of Acts. He went and preached Christ unto them. He must have preached it very effectively somehow to where those people would believe it and accept it the way that he preached it. He preached to them about the kingdom of God and about the name of Jesus. And those folks were baptized in water baptism in the name of Jesus and received the Holy Ghost. And that's my life's desire, is to see people born into the kingdom of God.
There
ain't the
Lord.
Can I say, Brother David is working faithfully.
My Lord. That's fantastic. Praise the Lord. Let's get ready to take up an offering right now. If you have any ushers. And I'd like for Brother... What's your name again? I like Brother... I don't matter. To play that guitar for us. I've always wanted to hear him pick, and I told him I would grin. And I'd help him out is all I can. But I'd love to hear him play that thing tonight.
Thank you.
years. Some folks have even questioned if it's all been just a show. But the reason I've been screaming, I want to walk alone.
I think the
thing because it's the grace.
Or done much history or studying about that song. It's written by John Newton there, that used to be a slave trader, sea trading man back in the late 1700s. And I think about a man that could turn around totally in the way that he did, and is sitting in a dark study one night with just a candlelight and a quill in hand, and dip it in the ink and begin to write that lovely song, Amazing Grace. That man knew what being a wreck was all about. Praise God. I thank God for what I feel here in this service tonight. So good to see each and every one of you, friends from a long time ago, and friends that hadn't been that long, but it's good to see you tonight. I got just one announcement I want to share with you, and this way I want to make sure everybody hears it. All you pastors, you should have received it in the mail by now. If you have not, please see me. I can give you an update on it where you can put it on your bulletin board. But I did want to let you know that there's some exciting things happening in the youth department. And one thing that I want to bring to mind is this year we're going to come back and have a Valentine party. Now, we had one 2 years ago that was a great success. And, 2 and 3 years ago that was a great success. And we sort of refrained from it last year. Didn't know how it was going after the Christmas banquet and all. But there's been a lot of response and a lot of people are inquiring about it this year. So we're going to have one once again.
Now, this party will be Friday night, February the 8th at 7 p.m. All ages are welcome, so come. You can bring the whole family or your Valentine, and let's just have some fun together. The party will be held in the Fellowship Hall of the East Side United Pentecostal Church. That's just right over here off of East 8th Street. And Brother Huckabee is the host pastor there, and he's going to let us use his facilities there that night. So let's come together and have a great time. Now, all we're asking each church to bring enough sandwiches, chips, dip, cookies, candy, etc. for your youth group. Everybody that comes from your church, make sure you have enough food with you to feed your group. And then when you get there, we'll combine all the food together and just have a great smorgasbord. And the youth department will be providing the drinks. So don't worry about the drinks. You just bring whatever you're going to eat, and snack-wise or whatever, dessert. Bring that, and the youth department will provide the drinks. And also, we'd like for each church that attends to be prepared, have a skit or one or two games lined up, because we want each church to get involved in the fellowship of the party. Praise God. A lot of sections just have banquets and whatever, but I'm glad to be part of a section that gets together every once in a while and parties. Praise God. Maybe you don't believe in partying, but I do. And I thank God for the fun and fellowship. And Brother Marion Smith, I can raise that hand. He still parties the age that he is. Praise God. Brother Marion parties, we all can party. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I tell you what, isn't God good? Every time I come to the Apostolic Church, I can't come without thinking about Brother Gary Taylor and the group that always backed him up in that song, Ain't God Good. And there's not a day in my life that I don't think about how good God truly is. Well, if you love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Scott Graham. Graham. New to our section. We're glad to have you. But we want him to come and leave a word of testimony with us at this time. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 1991. Amen. Praise God. It's going to be good to know him in 92, 93, 94, 95, should the Lord tarry. Praise God. I'll tell you, we serve a great and mighty God. Hallelujah. I got to thinking in the onset of this year, before the year began, what I wanted to see God do in 1991, and how I wanted to be used of God in 1991. And I got to thinking about some things that I've seen in the past, and the way that I've seen the devil work in the past. And I got to thinking about how I've seen the devil reach into the youth group of different churches and rob souls from the church of the living God. And I began to rise up with a righteous disgust at the work that the devil had done in the midst of our youth group. And I began to think, you know, I want to see God. I want to see God use me in the way that I want to see God be able to just reach down to the gates of hell and take a soul from the very gates of hell and from the jaws of death and take them out of the jaws of death and from the gates of hell and place them back into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. And God's opened up a door for me to minister at Cummins Prison. We go down there on Saturday morning once a week and minister. And I've been going down there about 2 months. But, you know, I begin to think, first I thought, I want to see one soul taken from the gates of hell. Praise God. You know, but then I thought, you know, that's nothing with God. Amen. I thought, hey, I want to see several souls. Brother Rutledge, I want to see several souls robbed from the jaws of death and taken from the very gates of hell. And in the past 2 months, I've seen 3 baptized in Jesus' name and 3 filled with the Holy Ghost and have 4 to baptize tomorrow morning, praise God. Those that are being the very gates of hell. Amen. We're in a church that Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. You believe that we're in that kind of church today? Glory to God. The church of the living God is alive and well in the world today. And we've got a youth group that's alive and well in the world today. And that's being raised up in the kingdom of God to do a work for God in this world today. I begin to think what we need in this time and in this hour is a will to survive. Amen. We need a will to survive. There's something powerful about having a will to survive. It was back in the year 1980. It didn't look like I was going to be able to survive in this natural life. I had a brain tumor, and I was in the hospital for about a month's time, and they just didn't give me much hope because of the position of that tumor located underneath my brain, and they scheduled me for micro brain surgery, and they said, you know, we just can't give you much hope, but it's a very serious surgery, and they began to explain the details of the surgery, and I just began to think, you know, they're just not giving me much hope. Oh, but I looked to a greater physician than the natural physicians that were telling me that I may not survive. Amen. I received a will to survive. And you know, I begin to think that's what we need in this day and time is a will to survive. A will to survive the things that the devil brings against us and the ways that he comes against us to drag us out of the kingdom of God. We've got to receive a will to survive. Oh, hallelujah. There's something powerful about having a made-up mind. You know, there's one thing I've found out that the devil can't deal with, and that's a made-up mind. And I'm here to tell you, young person, today, if you'll get a made-up mind, and if you'll get determined in your heart and get your mindset that you're going to live for God no matter what comes your way, no matter what the devil brings against you, just make up your mind. I'm going to make it. Amen. You can make it. You can make it unto the end. Glory to God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, he said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Oh, there's some things that we're going to have to endure in this life. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. I've got a made-up mind. How about you? I've got a made-up mind. I've got a will to survive. I've been through some things, but I'm going to make it all the way with Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We like the apostolic singers to come right now and sing. I do want to say that we appreciate all the pastors that are here tonight. And you that goes to their church, you realize this is youth night, and we're going to just use the young preachers. And they've said it many times before, man, use them young preachers. We get to preach on Sunday and teach on Wednesday. Use them. So if you're wondering why we're not using your pastor tonight, that's the reason why, because they want to see their young ministers being used. And so I do want to appreciate all of our pastors in our section. They are fantastic. I believe I better say that after what I said.
With all the gloom and the worry and depression and the oppression that's going on in the world today and the darkness that seems to hover over, there's a light that shines down from heaven. And through the church and through the love of God's people, it's a light that shines out to all the world. And if we'll just let it shine, the world can see our light and know the love that we know through Jesus.
Valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty. Up 10,000, make me a reflection of your light.
Rays start shining on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Oh,
Talking about all them old fellas out there. I'm just going to quote a verse of Scripture, forgetting those things that are behind and looking forward to the joy that's set before us. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord and to feel the warmth of God's Spirit here tonight. Some have asked about the sectional conference. It will be March the 5th this year. I think we're the last one on the category, and it'll be in Brother Huckabee's church, March the 5th. Brother Williams, don't go to the wrong church now. Get that down. All right. And also, I'm going to tell you something happened to me yesterday. Of course, several things happened to me yesterday. Grandpa again. Joe and Russell have a little baby girl, just about the size of a good-sized bass. 6.5-pounder. But beautiful redhead like pigeon. But coming back, I had the most peculiar feeling. It felt like I was tingling all over. I mean, just, what could it be, a stroke? Maybe it's my car seat, you know, something wrong with the electrical business. I was sitting on a Lake Razor. Everything you feel might not always be of God, but I think what we feel here tonight is of God. How about it? Hallelujah. We're honored tonight to have Brother Stan Mitchell and his wife, Jackie. And in addition to that, we got a bonus tonight. All the way from Paragould comes his father and mother and sister. Would y'all stand that they might see what you look like? Yeah. All right, give them a hand. Would you do that? The Mitchell. You know, Sister Mitchell used to attend my church some. Let me see. How long has that been, Sister Mitchell? 47 years ago when I was pastor up there, and you were 14 at that time. Maybe I'm off a little bit. We're real glad to have all of you in the house of the Lord, and we're not going to go further with a lot of foolishness, but we are going to turn the service to Brother Stan Mitchell. He was, you think he's first choice? You got it wrong. He's second choice. Me first, Stan second. No, I did have a name in mind, someone never been here, and I could not make contact with him, and then I was talking with Brother Mitchell, and I felt like this is a man that should be preaching our service tonight. So I asked him, and we're glad he's with us. Let's stand and welcome him. Amen. I want to say to our people, well, to anybody, the funeral for Richard Davison will be here Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Brother Howard Wayne, Brother Grover's not here, is he? All right. Brother Burner's not here. You three are part of the pallbearer system, but we'll talk to that later. And to our people, if you can take food by, as we usually do, to Sister Davison's house, and let's take care of those that are in trouble at this hour. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God bless Brother Stan Mitchell.
You can be seated. I was talking about sitting on the electric razor, and I thought about my father. Not long ago, three fellas, my father was on the end of the line in an altar in a storefront type church, and there was some electrical wiring right down the side, and Dad was speaking quite fervently, healing for his back. And one of the fellas on the other end raised his hand and got caught in that electrical wire, and as grounds go, Dad was the recipient of it right in the middle of his back, and Dad buckled and thought he had an encounter from God. He did. And it seems like a joke now, but he actually thought the Lord had touched him and bent and began to weep and cry and call on the Lord. No, he didn't quite do that. Well, it's good to be here tonight. This is like my second home. My parents can tell you that in the last year I lived here about as much more than I did at home in Paragould. I'm out ahead of that. These folks are good friends of mine. All of these, the relatives are some of our best friends. Here I go in this night, talk all these sweet things. But don't you just love to hear a guy get up and just mush and mush and mush and mush and mush? Just makes you sick, don't it? But they are indeed. This is like home. We consider it a home church away from home. As a matter of fact, next couple of weeks I'm going to be gone. My wife's going to have to be home during the middle of the week, and she had already told me she was going to go here one Wednesday night, and I guess to Dick and Debbie Price of Arkadelphia, so that lets you know what this family means to us. I want my wife to come. I want everybody to see her. I love this part. Come, watch the steps. Be very embarrassed. This could be good or this could be bad. Thank the Lord. She's still got to go down. I want her to say something to you. This is my wife of 2 months and 20 days. See, we're still keeping up with that type of thing. 2 months, 20 days, and almost 20 days. I want her to just say something. This is a real person right here, and she loves souls, and she is a committed girl, and she has been a blessing to me. She is a blessing more than I can say, and you find things out when you live with somebody, don't you? Fella, my buddy dated a girl 6 years. He said, man, I learned more in 2 months. He said, I thought I knew her after dating her 6 years, and he said, then I found out I didn't really know her. Well, this girl has always been the same, and she doesn't change. I just want her to say whatever's on her heart. You can hear from my wife tonight, can't you? Good. She's good, too. She is very good. I hear her all the time.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad to be here tonight. I don't like following him too good. He speaks a little bit better than I do right now anyway. But give me a while. But I am glad to be here tonight, and I just thank God I'm here, not on the street somewhere. And the reason for that is I wasn't raised in an apostolic church, and for 19 years, you know, I searched for something more, and I, you know, didn't know where to find it. I looked at school, I was a cheerleader, I was in track, you know, you name it, and I did it. And, you know, the world hadn't got it. The world hadn't got happiness. And a year and a half ago, I met Brother Mitchell, and he began to have a Bible study with me. And because of him and the grace of God, I found the Lord. And, you know, many times I knew converts were, I wanted to win the world, I wanted to win my church, and I wanted to win everybody I ran into. But the thing I came to forget about is the world's made up of individuals. And, it takes individuals to make the world go around. You know, God's not asking for a preacher. He's not asking for a pastor. He's not asking for, you know, the most spiritual person you can think of. He's just asking for a vessel that's willing to be used by him. And, you know, it took me a while to realize that. And I was talking to Brother Mitchell about it one night. And, you know, I said, I don't really know where to start. I go to school with a class of about 90 people over at Little Rock in pharmacy school. You know, I thought, you talk to everybody I meet. You know, where do I start? You know, and you know as well as I do, if they're not willing to listen to you, you can talk to your blue in the face and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. And, you know, I thought, you know, I don't know what to do. And we were talking about it one night, and Brother Mitchell told me, he said, you know, I had the same trouble for a while. And he said, I preached a revival in Texas, and I talked to an airline pilot. And, you know, he wasn't the pastor, he wasn't the song leader or anything like that, but he was just willing to be used of the Lord. And he asked, this man had won personally over 100 people to that church. You know, most of the church was made up of people that, you know, him being used of God that had won to that church. And Brother Mitchell asked him, you know, how in the world have you won that many people? And he said, well, what I do, he said, every morning when I get up, he said, I ask God, lead me to one hungry soul. You know, just lead me to someone who is willing to listen. You know, and I thought, well, I'm going to try that. You know, if it worked for him, you know, I want to be used of the Lord, so I'm going to try it. And I have been asking God, you know, lead me to hungry people. I go to school with that class, and to my knowledge, not one person is in church. And, you know, and that's bothered me because they're good people. You know, they're just like you and I, but they just don't know. And this afternoon I was outside, and I've been asking God, you know, lead me to someone. And this afternoon I was outside walking my dog, and a girl that I go to school with lived in an apartment complex with me, and I didn't even know it. And she yelled at me, and we began talking and everything. And I asked her where she went to church at, and she told me she went to the Gothic Church in Little Rock or sometimes the First Assembly. And she seemed like, you know, she was pretty hungry. She wanted something. And I asked her, I said, well, would you go to church with me sometime? I said, Brother Mitchell's going to be out of town in about 2 weeks, and I don't like going by myself. And she said, well, I'd love to. She said, I've been telling my mom, and she said, I've been going home every weekend because I don't like going to church by myself. And she said, the church is about 500 people, and I don't know anybody. And she said, I've been going home every weekend, and, you know, just so I can be with my family. And she said, my mom told me to pray about it. You know, there's good people out there that are praying to God, even though they don't realize the truth. You know, and I believe God's dealing with them. You know, he dealt with me a year and a half ago, and he's not a respecter of persons, so I know he's dealing with them. And I tell you, in a week or so, she told me she wants to go to church with me. And I'm going to continue praying for her. And if God led me to her, he's going to give me the words to say to her. And I tell you, I just thank God tonight that he listens to his saints. And he listens to people who are hungry. Because if it hadn't been for Brother Mitchell being willing to be used of God a year and a half ago, I wouldn't be here. And now I want to share with others what he shared with me. Because I know Christ has got the answers. And I just want God to give me the words to tell those people what he can do for them.
And I might add, I'm so glad when God gave me a burden for someone, he gave me a burden for someone pretty. With that said, Deuteronomy 30, if you have your Bibles, we just go to the Word. Deuteronomy 30. You want to stand with me? We'll stand. I think we can honor the Word while we're seated, but for the sake of some, we would rather let's stand. Deuteronomy 30. Again, thank you for letting me come. And I hope that this will go as good as I think it will, or hope it will. I hope it will anyway. Deuteronomy 30. This is something the Lord seemingly has preached to me for strong, and I want to share it with you. Deuteronomy 30. Let's look at verse 11. Good to have my parents surprise me, coming down 3.5 hours to be here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven, the Lord said, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, the Lord said, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee. Everything you need, the Lord said, is in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. James, the first chapter, some of you know where I'm going, one verse of Scripture, not to weary you, but let me read one more verse of Scripture in the book of James. James, the first chapter. James 1, we'll look at verse 22. James 1, verse 22. The apostle writes, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, a recipient of the word, and yet doesn't apply it, is not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And after he sees himself in that glass, for he beholdeth himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If a man is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man who goes to God's mirror, and sees his shortcomings, and sees the inadequacies, and sees that which the Lord would like to repair in his life. And yet after viewing himself, how many times do we go to God's mirror? Every time we come to the house of God, it seems like a song or a word or a move of God's Spirit will lead me to that place where I'll recognize, again, the inadequacies of myself. But yet if I simply receive that conviction, if I simply see myself there and leave, and yet without change, the Bible said I deceive only one person, and that's myself. And I can pat myself on the back all the way through that conviction and through that mirror experience, but I'm deceiving myself if I'm only a hearer of the word. I want to preach tonight, and I won't hold you long, but I want to preach simply something seemingly the Lord has shared with me strong, and that is the desperate necessity for a balance in hearing and doing. A desperate necessity for the balance in inspiration and application, in receiving and giving, hearing and doing. God bless you for standing. You can be seated. Hearing and doing. Someone said talk is cheap. For the sake of fairness, I really believe they should have amended the statement. They should have said something like this. Talk is cheap if it's not followed by action. Because talk isn't cheap if it's followed by the appropriate action. If you back up what you say, there's nothing cheap about your words. Teddy Roosevelt said it this way, and the list goes on. People who have spoken concerning the subject I'm preaching tonight, it's a very simple, base subject. Teddy Roosevelt said, I walk softly, but yet I carry a big stick. And I think he could have appropriately said, I talk softly. My life is not summed up by my words, but yet I carry a big stick. My actions speak for themselves. Someone said, actions speak louder than words. You see, all the words in the world can't put food on the table. All the words in the world, all the learning in the world can't heal a broken body. It's like a hospital without any delicate hands to mend the broken bones of an individual. Words are simply wallflowers, one writer said, if they are not laced with the appropriate action. Paul said it this way. He said, you are my epistle, and your life is known, and that life is read of all men. Paul said, my message to your city is not in a pulpit. My message to your city is in the lives of every one of you. Ye are the body of Christ, and I am not able to be on the street corner every day. I am not able to be in the marketplace every day. But I preach to you, and we come together, and we glean a proper spiritual perspective on the work of God. And then I send you forth, even the Lord of the harvest sends you forth. And Paul said, ye are the epistle of Jesus Christ. Ye are the body of Jesus Christ. You go into all the world, and your life is known, he said, and it's read of all men. Those who you don't even believe are watching you. Those who you don't even know are watching you. Those that you don't think are hungry. Those that you think have it all together. Actually, Paul said there are those that hide themselves under a guise of peace, yet they are hurting, and they are dying, and they are desperate. And Paul said the only message they'll ever see is the message of your life. It is your actions, not your words. Your words will never heal the broken body. Your words will never heal the broken spirit. But it is when you take yourself to that place and you live your life as an ensign toward that life that was lived by Jesus Christ. Paul told the church, or rather the writer of Hebrews, whatever you consider him to be, said simply this, that a testament, an epistle, a message, is muted and it's ineffective. Unless that testament, unless that spoken word, unless that vocal acclamation, except that audible from a man,
He said a testament is absolutely ineffective unless it is followed by the death of that testator. That's why the Bible said Jesus didn't only simply preach and then follow with a resurrection, but he endured a cross and he despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. He had a testament, but the testament of Jesus Christ was of absolutely no value except he found his way to a place called Calvary. Where there is a testament, Paul said, where you would witness, where you would vocally tell the world about Jesus, there must of necessity in their eyes be the death of the testator. That's why Paul said, it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom that I come to you, but I come to you in the power and the demonstration of God's Spirit. And I believe Paul would tell you, I could not come to you in the power and demonstration of that Spirit, except I found myself a cross every day. Before Paul said, I am resurrected with him, Paul said, I am crucified with Jesus daily. Before I tell him about Jesus, I lay my life down on the cross of discipleship. I'm talking tonight about hearing and doing. But that said, and I believe it very wholeheartedly, and I tell you tonight, I am preaching it myself, for the Lord first preached it to me. I don't think I would be overstepping any of bounds or any of the bounds of truth to say, and I believe it appropriate. In this last hour, I don't know where I am tonight, a youth rally, and God's people gathered together, good people, the body of Christ. And I can tell you with a finger pointed back at myself, God's greatest challenge in this last hour is not to teach us here tonight a new revelation. God's greatest challenge in the church tonight is not to come with some new move of His Spirit or some new illumination of His Word. His challenge tonight is not to call Stan Mitchell to delve so deeply into the Word that you are amazed and overwhelmed, and you go home saying, I've never heard it that way before. I've never recognized that before. But I believe God's greatest challenge for a revival and a move of God in my life, in my family, in my church, and in the church of God. In this last hour, God's greatest challenge, I believe He would tell all of us, is simply this. To get all of us to do what we already know to do. God's greatest challenge is not to teach a new parable, not a new paradigm, not a new paradox. His greatest challenge is not to perform signs and wonders, but God's greatest challenge is to cause the church, even the body of Christ, to pull themselves up by the spiritual bootstraps and do what we already know to do. Begin to divest that which has been invested in our lives. Some of the greatest problems I've ever encountered, some of the greatest problems man has ever known, I will assure you that they could have been readily remedied if those men and women would have simply done what they already knew to do. You search the annals of this book from Adam and Eve to Jonah. These were people who did not need new revelations from God, but they simply needed to do that which God had already instructed them to do. I read, for the sake of a base tonight, I read Deuteronomy 30. As the children of Israel, to hasten to a complex story and make it simple. The children of Israel came to a wide road, and there they stood. These were people who had been led by many miraculous vehicles by God. Through the burning bush encounter, Moses was called as their leader. And then the 10 plagues, and the darkness, and the death angel, and the Red Sea expedition, and the manna from heaven, and the quails that fell, and the cloud that guided them, and the pillar of fire that gave them heat at night. Those people who had seen a rock burst open and water that fed literally over 1 million people, perhaps 2 and 3 million people fed, drank from one rock. These were people who had become so fatty. And I honestly believe we can become fatty upon the Spirit of God and the blessings that we so often receive. We can so get used to, we can so bathe in this marvelous presence that we actually become overly fat and spiritually fat. And that we can actually feed so heavily on the bread of life that we become lethargic and lackadaisical and eat, and become spiritual couch potatoes. And I'm talking to me. But they had become so fatty upon the miracles and the great things of God, the things with such magnitude. They had become so fatty upon that they turned to God in this hour at this wide road. And they appealed to God. Who is going to go up to heaven? Who is going to be that one so spiritual that they'll ascend the heights? And they'll go past the first, second, third heaven somewhere to that place, and they'll have an encounter with God. Who is going to be so spiritual? Who will step forward from this millions of people? And they'll go up to God, and they'll come back with the answer, should we go right or should we go left? They appeal to God further without God saying a word. Who is going to be so spiritual that they would cross the sea and they would somehow find the answer in a foreign land, and they would send it back to us in the global witness? And then after they found out how to do it in Africa, we would learn how to do it in America? Who is going to be that spiritual missionary? They appeal to God. Who would be that one to step forward among us and lead us on this wide road? God told them very simply, and this would be the entire crux of my message tonight, and perhaps they were disappointed. I hope you're not. But God said, everything you need, every decision that you will make, God said, I have already invested in you. It is not in the heavens that someone should go up, and it's not across the seas that somebody should go over. But God said, in every individual, from the youngest to the oldest, in every individual, I have invested in your heart and in your mouth the message that you need. And the decision would be well made, God said, if you would simply act on what you already know to do. When I considered that, and I sat in the library the other day, and I began to pen these words, it rang a bell that convicted me. I began to consider myself. I've been in church 22 years, all of my life. My parents took me as a baby, and they held me up before God, and they dedicated me at a church in Peoria, Illinois. All I've ever known was Sunday school class, and when I walked up the streets of gold and Saturday night services and youth rallies and fellowship meetings, all I've ever known was revival and evangelists in the home and the presence of God and the songs of Zion. And I began to consider what has been invested, Brother Hill, in my life. And I began to consider 3 hours a week at least of the Word of God. I have averaged growing up in a pulpit. Across the pulpit 3 hours a week, there has been Word of God broken and delved and pushed and forced and yet then received after I received the Holy Ghost into my life. When I begin to consider that 3 hours a week besides personal devotion time, I have received the Word of God. That's 156 hours in a year. That is 4 40-hour work weeks. That's like getting up for 1 month and going to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and sitting there and hearing the Word of God. If you've been in church 13 years, you have heard one entire year of work weeks, 52 40-hour work weeks. 52 times for 5 days, 8 hours a day, you've went and you've sat and you've listened to the Word of God. 25 years, you've had 2 years of work weeks of the Word of God besides your personal time invested in your life. I honestly believe it's not going to be a message on prayer, and it's not going to be a message on sacrifice, and it's not going to be a message on the awesome miracle work and power of God that's going to click in my life and cause me to do that which I know to do. But it's going to be somewhere when I'm washing the dishes or mowing the lawn or walking the dog somewhere, driving down the road, I'm going to recognize, Stan Mitchell, you know what to do if you would simply do it. It's not a matter of learning something new, but it's simply a matter of getting yourself together and recognize that which has been invested in your life. If we could assimilate, if we could gather and assemble that which has been invested on this platform and that which has been invested in this church, I believe we would recognize that we have heard enough and we have felt enough and we have seen enough. I've laid across enough altars. I've laid underneath a number of altars. I've ran the aisles and danced and shouted before God. He's moved in camp meetings and youth camps and revivals and youth rallies in my life. I believe there has been invested in my life in God enough that I should have turned my family upside down, and I should have already turned my friends upside down. It is not a matter of hearing more, but it is a matter of doing with what I already have. I don't think God would have to sweep over this place in a stupendous manner to cause this city to change and to cause this sectional area to change. But I believe if God could tap on a few people's heartstrings right now and cause you to look inside and be honest with yourself and go to that mirror of God that all time hurts, I believe we would go from this place at this point recognizing, come on, world, God, if you'll go with me, I'll do with what you've already invested in me. I believe the question that's staring all of us in the face tonight, I believe the question staring all of God's people in the face, and if I'm making a misnomer, it's a large one, but I believe it's a question that's staring me in the face, and I believe I could find myself akin to all of us. I believe the question staring us in the face tonight in this youth rally is simply this: where is the application? Where is the application of that which has been applied to your life? I sat in that UALR library the other day for medical sciences, and as I penned these words, I looked and I saw perhaps a 50-year-old man walk by and a 45-year-old woman. And I looked at some walked by with books under their arm and heaped books on the desk. And I saw men and women there that
were unmarried, and they had no family, and yet now in middle age. And I began to go in my mind, and I knew what these people were called. They're called professional students. There are people in this world that actually have 1,000 credit hours in college, and you need about 130 for a bachelor's degree. I saw people at that medical sciences building that had never had a family, never had a life, but they had been paid by the government, and some of them well, just simply to go to school and learn and learn. And when you feel learning,